is Jimmy Smith with a piece called Eight Woman, an animal tune of sorts, as we listen to today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, and streaming live on the internet via the station's fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show seeks to learn about animals and animal issues and celebrate animals. As you can readily glean, we care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, so we're podcasting on iTunes now, including all our programs that we've done here on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life. The conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Marty Sanders, guitarist with Jay and the Americans, perhaps best known for such hits as Come a Little Bit Closer and This Magic Moment. The band performs February 13th at the Largo Cultural Center. Marty's maintained a lifelong interest in snakes, lizards, and other reptiles, and now something of a herpetologist. Sanders is occasionally called upon to head to construction sites, humanely remove snakes found there, and release them in an uninhabited and safe area. We'll find out more about his work of this kind and the scaly companions he shares his home with when we speak with Marty Sanders in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Time now for our little animal news and or announcements segment, and certainly have something notable in that regard today. Elmira's Wildlife Sanctuary in Waimama is being displaced from the facility they are leasing. Apparently this was prompted by the property owners increasing concerns about liability, and there's talk they may have to euthanize at least some of the animals because there may be nowhere to place them. The Elmira's folks are frantically searching for a new plot of land. So if you can help in any way, from financial contributions to suggestions or other guidance, please contact them at, by email, info@Elmira's, that's E-L-M-I-R-A-S, wildlife.org, info@Elmira'sWildlife.org. Phone them at 813-634-4115. And their website to find out more about this and find out more about the sanctuary itself, Elmira'sWildlife.org. Also, there's going to be a fundraiser for them Saturday, February 16th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Old Man Frank's, 1005 South Lake Howard Drive in Winter Haven. So check that out. They obviously could use a helping hand. That's Elmira's Wildlife Sanctuary. Okay, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Bill Engvall with a piece called Dorkfish on today's Comedy Corner here. WMNF.
See, I think we just try to figure out too much about animals. We should just leave them alone. I'll give you a great example. In the California desert, they found bones of a prehistoric porpoise. And they're saying it's interesting because this porpoise's upper jaw sticks out a lot further than his lower jaw. So I figure he's got to look like... And they're already trying to figure out if this upper jaw was used for, like, mating or catching fish. I'm thinking, what if it's just a goofy-looking fish? You know, like a dork fish. He's like, oh, this ain't the ocean. Woo! I better find me some water. Because can you imagine if you were fishing and you caught a dork fish? Because you know your friends would be like, hey, man, what kind of fish is that? You'd be like, oh, nothing. Because you know that fish would stick his head out of that bucket. I'm a dork fish. He caught me on corn dogs. I was swimming underneath the ocean, and I said, what's a corn dog doing underneath the ocean? But you know me, boy. I love them damn corn dog, boy. Woo! I saw that bad boy. I bit it. Boom, I was in the boat. That's the last thing I know. Be pretty cool if they sold them in pet stores. Because you know they say pets always look like their owners. It's like you go over to your friend's house, hey, Buford. What kind of fish is this? Dork fish? I'm just fixing to feed him. What do you feed a dork fish? Corn dog? might just gobble them up. But you got to take that stick out. They'll eat that stick.
All right, that was Bill Engvall with a piece called Dorkfish, taken from his album called Dorkfish. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM, WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with Barbara Massey of Greyhound Pets of America, discussing retired racing greyhounds. We also have a blog, a link to the new Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends. There's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. And remind you when the show will next air right here on WMNF. That's all found on TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Marty Sanders. So let me quickly outline few important details about him. As I mentioned a moment ago, he's the guitarist of Jay and the Americans, perhaps best known for such hits as Come a Little Bit Closer and This Magic Moment. The band performs February 13th at the Largo Cultural Center. Marty has maintained a lifelong interest in snakes, lizards, and other reptiles, and shares his home with quite a few scaly companions. Now something of a herpetologist, Sanders is occasionally called upon to visit construction sites. He mainly removes snakes found there and release them in an uninhabited and safe area. Lots to discuss, so with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Marty Sanders to Talking Animals. Are you there, Marty?
How are you doing there?
Great. Thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Great. It's a pleasure to be here.
Cool. Well, we'll certainly want to talk about music in a few minutes, and again, want to remind people a few different times about the Jay and the Americans show February 13th at the Largo Cultural Center. But given the focus of this show, I think we've got to start with animals. So how did you first become interested in reptiles?
Well, when I was just a little bitty kid, I liked dinosaurs, and I used to find little amphibians, frogs, and salamanders, and garter snakes, and around the house, and up in the country, and that's it. I never lost the passion.
And to what extent were animals sort of part of your life growing up? I mean, beyond that, I mean, were there animals in the house? Were animals important to your family?
We always had a dog, and I was always bringing stuff, emptying my pockets to my mother's horror. Frogs and snakes and stuff like that. Setting them up in little tanks and jars full of salamanders. And
what do you think, back then at least, what do you think first appealed to you about reptiles? I mean, why them versus, if you had a dog?
I thought they were like little dinosaurs, and what kid doesn't like dinosaurs?
For sure, sure. And then sort of under what circumstances did your attraction to them, hey, these are like dinosaurs, or cool creatures or whatever, evolve from that to sort of, hey, these creatures are fascinating in a way that I really want to learn more about?
I guess it's like going to the circus and getting your first little Carolina Anole, the green guy that lives down where you are.
Yeah.
And getting them, putting them in a cage and trying to feed them lettuce and watching them die, So I had to figure out, well, how do you keep these guys alive? They actually, and I'd get little books on them and figure out how to keep them alive, and it grew from there.
And so let's talk about then. So over what years, like in your teen years, did you start, or even before, did you start to really have kind of a little bit of a reptile house there in the family home?
Well, the teen years were barren of reptiles. That was school and music.
Sure.
When I became independent, I decided to get back into the reptiles again.
I see.
And when I moved upstate to Orange County, New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's another Orange County. There's several other Orange.
Yeah, I'm from one of them in California, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah.
So when I moved to Orange County in New York, I was finding rattlers.
Mm.
I'm going to ignore that beep. Someone's trying to call me.
Sure, sure. I appreciate that, Marty. Thanks.
And pretty soon the police started calling me. I was known as somebody who handles timber rattlers. And I go I go to people's houses when they've got one. The police call me, and I rescue the snake from the people and the people from the snake, and at the same time I educate them, and they discover that the timber rattler is has been living in the same area for tens of thousands of years. And follows the same pattern, the same trails down for feeding and mating. And they're living in that territory, and they're going to expect to see the same individuals every year. And I have to come and remove them, and I just take them, I mark them, I sex them, I photograph them, and I carry them back into the woods about from a quarter of a mile to a half mile. So what I'm in essence doing is moving them from where they were back to towards their den area, and hoping that they'll take a different path down if they, you know, they know where they're going.
Sure.
And over the course of 3 or 4 years of doing this, of maybe more, 5 or 6 years, the people have become used to seeing the same. They'll call me up and say, "Hey, it's the same guy. I see the mark on his tail."
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I say, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And I say, "Well," they say, "Well, I've got company coming, and there's going to be little kids." So I say, if he's staying in the same place, I'll come by, pick him up, and move him again. And that's what I do. If
wow.
he's moving on, I just say, let him move on.
Well, cool, Marty. Well, this raised a couple questions, and now we've got some calls and an email. But let me just first remind people, this is Talking Animals on WMNF, and we're discussing reptiles with Marty Sanders of Jay and the Americans, who perform February 13th at the Largo Cultural Center. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's take a call right now, Marty, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
Hi, you're on WMNF with Marty Sanders on Talking Animals.
Yes. Hi, Marty.
Hi.
This is Sandy Potts. How are you today?
I'm great.
Good. Is it Kathy Schultz there?
I can't hear you.
Is it Kathy Schultz there?
This is, you know, you called a radio show, right, about animals?
Oh, okay. Her show is only from 9 to 11. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling. Anyway.
I didn't really hear her anyway.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll straighten that out in no time. But maybe, Marty, for those of us who may not be as familiar with some of the qualities of a timber rattlers, what are their traits? What distinguishes them from other rattlers or other snakes that we might be more familiar with?
Well, the timber rattler is the only rattler in New York State, in lower New York State. We've got a pygmy rattler upstate. That's fairly rare and endangered. The timber rattler gets to be about maximum 4.5-5 feet in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty sedentary. They're not actively aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
In this early spring, they leave their dens and they move down to the feeding areas. You know, they go for water and go for food. They kind of stay in one spot, wait for a chipmunk to come out, bite and release. And the chipmunk will wander off about 25, 30 feet. And the snake will follow the scent trail and eat the chipmunk. And that's how it goes and
sure.
move on.
And so
in the autumn, early autumn, they move back. The males follow the females back to the den,
sure.
at which time they generally mate.
Right. So I take it's the first part of that process, which is where then they might encounter some of the residents that then call you or call people who call you to sort of relocate them.
They generally see them in the latter part of the summer when the males are
mm-hmm.
following the females.
Sure, sure. Makes sense. Well, it sounds like a lot of what you're doing is not only over time is not only kind of relocating them closer to their dens and making sure they're safe and sound, but educating folks along the way.
Exactly.
And along those lines, we got an email here from on a slightly different topic, but you may be able to address this as well. Curtis from email here writes, "Hi, are there any snakes we should be happy to have on our property in Florida?"
Oh, sure. Depending on what part of Florida, you've got your big, the nice indigo snake, your water snake, the indigo and the racers, and the corn snake, which I guess you'd call it a chicken snake or a corn snake or a They're rat snakes, anyway. They can all interbreed, all the rat snakes. We've got the black rat up here, and then when you hit South Jersey, you get a corn snake, which is a lot more colorful. And then you've got a striped one down in Florida. They're all rodent eaters, and they're great to have around.
I see.
You know? If you see a moccasin on your property, avoid it. I don't know what to do.
Sure.
I can tell you, they're pretty nasty. If you see I don't know what else you've got. You've got pygmy rattlers. You've got diamondback, the eastern diamondback, which is a magnificent snake.
And what would be like initially? I was somebody should probably check more carefully, but sort of distinguishing marks on the moccasin that we want to steer clear of.
Well, a moccasin is a very heavy-bodied snake. It's got the angular head of a viper. Once you see a moccasin, you can't mistake it for anything else. Copperheads too. People kill milk snakes and water snakes and armless snakes, thinking they're copperheads. But once you see one, and you know, once you see the angular head, the viperine look. You know what you're dealing with.
Sure. Well, let's run down the current snake population at your house, Marty. Are there a number of snakes residing with you at the moment?
Zero.
Zero.
I do not keep snakes.
Really?
No.
Okay. What about other reptiles?
I've got some animals from Australia. I love monitor lizards.
Oh, wow.
I think the varanids are wonderful animals. They're bright. They're like the tigers of the reptile world. They're bright. They're not as, they could climb, they could swim, they could dig. They're great animals. They've got something behind their eyes other than eat, sleep, and procreate, you know?
Yeah.
And shelter. I see a lot more in them. I've got two spiny-tailed Acanthurus. They're dwarf monitors because I'm living in a small space.
Mm.
And I've got a male and female, and they're sub-adult. I'll be expecting some eggs from them pretty soon. I've also got blue-tongued skinks. They're from Australia as well.
Wow, a lot of down under action. Well, I have a couple questions about those monitors, but we have another caller too I'd like to try to take.
Okay, good.
Hi, you're on WMNF with Marty Sanders on Talking Animals.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, maybe it's a little philosophical, but snakes are almost always presented as really dangerous and watch out for them and all that. But in all the places I've lived, especially out west, and because I'm a deep ecologist, and I believe humans are very arrogant and strange about how they look at all the other creatures on the planet, I've never been afraid of snakes, except obviously in the practical logistical sense. I don't really even find poisonous snakes to be a problem. I mean, they were here first. We move into their habitat zone, and same thing is happening with mountain lions and bears, and then we complain, and we have to have them removed. I'd like to get your expert guest's opinion on the issue of snake preservation zones. Why is it that we all think we can move wherever the snakes are and then have to have somebody take them away or shoot them or poison them? I just think snakes are great, just like all other animals. Even if they could be harmful to us, I think we should give them a wide berth and let them be where they were meant to be. I don't understand the fear. It's like with alligators. I just don't think snakes should be demonized the way they have been. I'd like to have your guest's opinion on that.
Well, I'm going to guess you have a kindred spirit here in Marty, but let's address that, Marty, if you wouldn't mind. That's a very good question.
Yeah. I'll address that, but, you know, there are areas where people years ago didn't, you know, not everybody, it's ignorance that causes all the problems in the world, you know, ignorance of other people, of foreign people, of people that are different, you know, you kind of, and that causes a fear, and when people build houses in areas, I mean, now they've got the DEC in New York with the Department of Environmental Conservation. And before anything gets built, they got to go and have an impact study of the area, you know. But if, like what I do, I can't help it. Those houses were there before. people have dogs, people have little children. If the rattlesnake is if they've got toddlers crawling around in their front yard and there's a rattlesnake there, according to the law in New York, you can kill it. You know, and of course they were there first, but unfortunately we're humans and we are the best, and we what we do is right. That's not always right. I'm just saying that I'm being ironic.
Tongue in cheek there,
but,
yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of logic has to creep into this conversation.
For sure.
I love the animals, and you know, there are people that say I'd rather see a dead human than a dead rattlesnake. That's taking it a little too far.
Sure. Well, we've got some other callers here, Marty, that'd like to speak to you. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on WMNF with Marty Sanders on Talking Animals.
Yes, I'm trying to reach Julie. I'm sorry. I got the wrong number there.
Okay. All right.
I love that.
Hi, you're on WMNF with Marty Sanders on Talking Animals.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Bill, and I'm from Clearwater.
Okay, could you turn your radio down, please, sir?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
And I totally agree with this. You know, it's amazing how, like up here in New Tampa, they put in a new elementary school up here. You know they had to do an environmental impact survey on it. And if they're finding pygmy rattlers, then they should be relocating them. But instead, they built the elementary school, and sure enough, the first year in operation, one of the kids got bit, and one of the janitors got bit by pygmy rattlers. So it's so simple to catch them and move them. If they're doing a survey anyway and they show up, they ought to be moving them.
Yeah, it seems like everybody, the caller, Marty, yourself, probably myself, all sort of, I think, agree that if they can be relocated.
If they can be.
Yeah.
The timber rattler can't be relocated. Timber rattler, they live in traditional dens that they've been.
Right.
You move one.
This has been strictly pygmy rattlers. You know, my understanding is the smaller the snake, the more potent the venom.
Right.
So it seems like it would be a no-brainer to have those moved.
Either that or don't build the school right there.
Yeah, well, you know, the school was something that obviously the growth demanded, so, you know.
There you go.
It's just like you said, you know, we're the preeminent species in our minds, and so they get the short end of the stick.
That's right.
Okay, well, thanks so much for your call. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're discussing reptiles with Marty Sanders of Jay and the Americans, who performed February 13th at the Largo Cultural Center. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're in our sort of final minutes, but you can call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Marty, we got an email from someone here, Brian, who's asking, are there any native pythons and or alligators / crocs in New York? Is there still a problem from these creatures that were cute little pets being released into sewers once they got too big?
No, that's an urban legend.
Okay. All right. Good.
But you certainly got them down in Florida. You got pythons and boas and all kinds of... You got even Nile monitors breeding, running around loose. And I think water monitors as well from Indonesia.
Yeah, well, there's been obviously a huge problem with people bringing in exotic pets and then they release them and the next thing you know, they're wandering everywhere. We got a couple more calls in very little time. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on WMNF with Marty Sanders on Talking Animals.
Oh, yes, am I on right now?
You sure are, sir. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I'm just wondering about the effect of Julie on your Western rattlers. I'll take my answer off here.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. There are many types of Western rattlers. There's a Western Diamondback and Blacktail, but I don't know anything about the effect of the storms or what's going on. I mean, they're natural occurrences that have been happening for eons. So some stuff lives, has trouble, and some stuff doesn't.
All right, Marty. Well, gosh, we're just sort of nearing the end of our time here. But let me just ask you just for maybe probably the final question here. Is there something about snakes that most of us would be surprised to learn that kind of an expert like yourself has gleaned over the years?
Well, they're just going about doing their snake thing. You know, snakes are good at being snakes.
Sure.
Dogs are good at being dogs. Cats are good at being cats. As far as measuring intelligence, and they're not pets. They're not warm-blooded, and they don't show affection.
Yeah.
But they are docile, and for the most part, they're not aggressive.
Right. Well, that's I think that's a perfect note to then to end things on. And just want to remind people again that Jay and the Americans have a local show next Wednesday, February 13th.
At come on down. Come see us. We have a lot of fun.
Largo Cultural Center. And then the next day, the Valentine's Day, on the other side of the state at the Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce, Florida.
There you go.
All right. Featuring the hotshot guitar work of Marty Sanders, reptile expert extraordinaire. So, Marty, thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you very much, Duncan.
Appreciate it. All right, take care, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our new MySpace. We're looking for some friends just like you. Make suggestions for future guests or topics and more. That's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a pair of tickets to CJ and the Americans, February 13th at the local Largo Cultural Center. To the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this very relevant animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune from WMNF.
Crawling king snake.
Well, that's pretty darn good. And you know who's doing this version?
Yeah, it's the Doors.
Of course. Cool. What's your first name?
My name is Tequila Tom.
Tequila Tom?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Tequila. We will come right back and get your information set you up for those tickets. Thanks for listening. I'm going to put you right back on hold right now.
Great.
Okay, everybody. We do have a winner. Thanks for calling. Thanks for trying. And okay, so we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The program now airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back next Wednesday, February 13th, and I hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net, and while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! I'll be back at 4 p.m. today hosting the Sonic Detour, and I'll return for another edition of Talking Animals next Wednesday, February 13th, on WMNF Tampa. Well, we're closing out today's show. As always, with an animal song. This one's a nod of sorts to today's reptile-centric conversation. This is Ray Wiley Hubbard with a tune called Snake Farm right here on WMNF Tampa. Catch you next week.
She dances like a little Egypt. She works down at the Snake Farm. Snake Farm. It just sounds nasty. Snake Farm. Pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house. Snake Farm. Humor. She got a tattoo down her arm. It's of a python eating a little mouse, wearing a sailor hat that says Snake Farm. Snake Farm. It just sounds nasty. Snake Farm. Pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house. Snake Farm. She works there. She says, well, it's got its charm. There's nothing to do in the winter. Now and then some kid gets bit at the Snake Farm. Snake Farm. It just sounds nasty. Snake Farm. Pretty much is Snake Farm. It's a reptile house. Snake Farm. said you cried when they broke up. She still plays the records at the Snake Farm. Snake Farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake Farm, pretty much it. Snake Farm, it's a reptile.
From NPR.